I would like to begin by joining with Chris and welcoming everyone here today. If you're visiting with us, thank you so much for coming. We're thankful that you've come to be with us this morning. If there are any questions you have, please don't hesitate to ask those questions. And we'll do our best to give you a Bible answer. And it is a joy and privilege to assemble with the saints who work and worship here on a regular basis. Come with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Today we're going to talk about the story of Abigail and Nabal. Or as we've entitled it, Beauty and the Beast. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, David is on the run. He's an outlaw. Saul has desired to take David's life. And so David has gotten together with a group of bandits, for lack of a better word. And they're living out in the fields. Well, there was a rich man who had a lot of money. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he had his flocks in the field where David was. And the Bible says that while his flocks were in the field, David and his men protected them. Well, now, Nabal, this rich man, is having a feast. It's the shearing of the sheep season. This was a very festive time. And so David, knowing that, sends some men to ask Nabal for a favor. We're going to look at this story, but first let me show you it divides neatly into several sections. Anytime you read a story, it's helpful, I believe, to divide it into parts. These parts will help you to remember the story better and where to find something in the story. Well, here's how I would divide 1 Samuel 25, the story of Abigail and Nabal. You have in verses 4 through 8, David's request. Verses 9 through 11, Nabal's refusal. Verses 12 and 13, along with verses 21 and 22, David's response. Verses 14 through 17, the servant's report. Verses 18 through 31, Abigail's reaction. Verses 32 through 35, David's restraint. Verses 36 through 39, Nabal's retribution. And verses 40 through 42, David's reward. As we go through our story today, you're going to see that this divides very neatly. David's request, Nabal's refusal, David's response, the servant's report, Abigail's reaction, David's restraint, Nabal's retribution, and David's reward. All right, let's set the scene again. Nabal had sent his shepherds into the field. They were tending to the flock. As they were in the field, David and his men, these outlaws, had provided a wall of protection. They made sure that Nabal's men and animals were secure. Well, now David sends men, 10 young men, to ask a favor from Nabal. In essence, they were sent to say, "We took care of you in the fields. Can you please give us something in return? We're hungry. After all we've done for you, Mr. Nabal, can you please at least give us some food at this festive season?" David told the men precisely what to say and how to say it. It was very diplomatic and respectful. But notice Nabal's stern response in verse 10. "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters. Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I've killed for my shearers and give it to men who come from I do not know where?" Now listen, Nabal knew who David was. But he acts as if David is a nobody. Who is David? Who is this son of Jesse? You know, there are a lot of servants who are betraying their masters. That was a rebuke to David, wasn't it? Should I give my hard-earned money? Should I give my bread and water and meat to men like David? After all that David had done for Nabal, Nabal says, "Get out of here. I have no use for you. I will not help David." You know, it's interesting, at the beginning of the chapter, Nabal is described as a harsh man who was badly behaved. You already see that, don't you? He responds to David with a smugness. "Who is this David? Why should I help somebody like David? Get out of here!" Well, how do you suppose David responded to Nabal's refusal? Do you think David was going to take that too kindly? The Bible says that David was angry. Listen to what he said to his men in verse 13. "Every man strap on his sword." Does that sound like David wants to chit-chat? Does that sound like David wants to go and merely reason with Nabal? No, that was a call to war. David was offended. He was insulted. "How dare this man treat me that way? Men, mount up. Strap on your sword. We're going to pay Mr. Nabal a visit." Did you notice how many men David was going to take with him? The Bible says that David was going to take 400 men to visit Mr. Nabal. I don't know how large Nabal's household was, but this seems a bit drastic, doesn't it? David's taking 400 fighters to pay Mr. Nabal a visit. Well, as David is preparing for war, the Bible says that one of the young men, one of Nabal's servants, he overheard the conversation when David sent the 10 men and their request. He knew who David was. He knew who they were dealing with. And so he goes to Nabal's wife, Abigail, and he says to Abigail, "Abigail, something has happened. You need to intervene here." And you can picture Abigail saying, "What is it? What happened?" And the servant tells her, beginning there in verse 14, "Look, David has sent some messengers, and they requested some food. But Nabal, he was very harsh." The ESV says, "He railed at them." Please, Abigail, don't you know what we're dealing with here? Our lives are on the line. He has slighted David. And I can testify, Abigail, that when we were out in the wilderness tending to the flock, David protected us. He and his men, they were a wall by day and night. We were not hurt. Our flock was not harmed. This man treated us very, very kindly, but now our ruthless master has insulted him." Notice how he describes Nabal in verse 17. "Now therefore, know this, and consider what you should do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his house, and he is such a worthless man that one cannot speak to him." The servant didn't mince words, did he? "Abigail, I don't mean you any disrespect, but you know how your husband acts. How hard-headed and ruthless he is. These men, they were kind to us. They were generous. And look how Nabal has repaid them." Abigail was not indecisive. She didn't need a few days or weeks to weigh the pros and cons. The Bible says she went into reaction mode immediately. Verse 18 says she, with haste, gathered some gifts of bread and wine and sheep, grain, raisins, and cakes of figs. She prepared a bounty. She put them with her servants on donkeys and sent them ahead of her. She herself went to intercept David. She knew, as the servant said, that their lives were in danger. She knew that David would not take this lying down, and so she goes to meet David with a generous gift. David is fuming at this moment. He is absolutely seething. In fact, notice what David said in verse 21. Surely in vain I have guarded all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him. And he has returned me evil for good. God do so to the enemies of David, and more also, if by morning I leave so much as one male of all who belong to him. Can't you picture David and his men, armed and ready for battle, making their way toward Nabal's house? And David venting aloud, I cannot believe it. Look at all that we've done for this man. How dare he respond like that? David was fit to be tied. But then Abigail appears. And when Abigail nears David, the Bible says she gets off her donkey and she bows her face to the ground before him. She humbly bowed at David's feet. She didn't try to reason with David. She didn't make excuses. She didn't say, now David, let me give you Nabal's point of view on this now. I think you're overreacting. There was none of that. She knew the situation. And she bowed before David. Listen to what she said beginning in verse 24. This is a beautiful reading. Abigail bows before David and says, on me alone, my Lord, be the guilt. Please let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant. Let not my Lord regard this worthless fellow Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. As a side note, Nabal means fool or foolish. Abigail is saying, in essence, he's living up to his name. But I, your servant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now then, my Lord, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, because the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt and from saving with your own hand, now then, let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now let this present that your servant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servant, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you so long as you live. If men rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living, in the care of the Lord your God. In the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And when the Lord has done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and has appointed you prince over Israel, my Lord shall have no cause of grief or pains of conscience for having shed blood without cause, or for my Lord taking vengeance himself. And when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your servant. You kind of picture Abigail there, softly trembling, as she pleads for mercy. And did you notice how many times she referred to David as my Lord, and referred to herself as your servant? She was filled with humility. Nabal doesn't deserve your forgiveness, but please, please forgive us. I didn't know what happened. I didn't hear their conversation. Please, please restrain yourself. You can imagine how David's temperance immediately changed. How could you possibly maintain your anger at a moment like that? Nabal is a scoundrel, but his wife is reasonable and humble. In fact, back in verse 3, when Nabal was described as a harsh man who behaved badly, Abigail was described as discerning and beautiful. Some translations say intelligent and beautiful. And certainly you see that, don't you? She's exercising wisdom and discretion. And how does David respond? David responds by saying, "Your petition is granted. You have restrained my hand. You have kept me from sinning this day." He said to her in verse 35, "Go in peace to your house. See, I have obeyed your voice and I have granted your petition." Unbeknownst to Nabal, Abigail has saved the day. She has spared his life. Well, what do you suppose he was doing when she got home? Now, the text tells us he didn't know that she went to intercept David. He didn't even know that David was going to seek his life. But what do you suppose Nabal was doing when Abigail returned home? He was in party mode. He was feasting. You see, this was a time when the shearers were in and it was a festive moment. And the Bible says that he was so drunk that she didn't even try to talk to him that night. She waited until morning. When he finally sobered up a bit, she went to Nabal and she said, "Nabal, I want you to know something. You disrespected David. He was on his way to kill you. He and 400 men were going to take your life. But thankfully God allowed me to reason with him." Notice what Nabal did as she reasoned with him. Verse 37. "In the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him. And he became as a stone, and about 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died." Now, I don't know how to classify this medically. Maybe it was a heart attack. Maybe it was a stroke. But the Bible simply says that when he heard these words from his precious wife, his heart died in him. Then 10 days later, the Lord took his life. Divine retribution. David didn't need to right the wrong, God did. Well, the story has a beautiful ending for David. The Bible says that when he heard that Nabal had died, he praised God and sent men who asked her to marry David. And she agreed. The last line of verse 42 says, "She followed the messengers of David and became his wife." This is the story of Abigail and Nabal. And you know, you could approach this story from many different angles. You could talk about Nabal's character. He was selfish, stingy, and smug. He was not thankful for what others had done. Or we could talk about Abigail. She was the polar opposite of her husband. He was greedy, she was generous. He was hostile, she was hospitable. He was haughty, she was humble. He was selfish, she was selfless. She had the beauty and the brains. She was soothing to the eyes, but she was also a very smart, intelligent woman. Think about who Abigail saved that day. Have you ever really thought about it? First, she saved her husband, right? He would have been dead by morning had she not intervened. She saved the men of her household. David was not just going to kill Nabal. He was going to kill every male in the place. And number three, she also saved David, didn't she? She kept David from sinning against God. Though David had been disrespected, that doesn't justify mass murder. This precious woman was responsible for the saving of many things that day. Or we could talk about David. A man after God's own heart, the Bible says, but he wasn't always perfect. Have you ever noticed In 1 Samuel chapters 24 and 26, we have the two episodes of David sparing Saul's life. Saul is on the hunt for David, and David is put in position to kill Saul both times. Once while Saul was using the restroom, and once while Saul was sleeping. David had him in his grasp. David could have easily killed him, but David exercised patience and self-control. Couched between those two great stories is this story. A time when David saw red. A time when David did not practice self-control, at least not at first, right? The young men come back. What did he say? Where are the goods? We're sorry, sir, but he's declined your request. Nabal refuses to help. He says he doesn't know David. Get your swords. I need 400 men right now. Get your swords. We're going to go see Nabal. I understand that David was upset, rightfully so. But he was about to overreact. So couched between those two stories of self-control is this story where he lacked self-control. We could certainly develop that thought. By the way, that indicates how elusive self-control can be. But I want to just focus quickly on three lessons we learn. We won't spend a lot of time on this, but three lessons we learn from the Beauty and the Beast, from Abigail and Nabal. Number one, we don't have to be defined by others. Whether it's a spouse, parents, co-workers, teammates, it doesn't matter. We don't have to be defined by others. I want you to think about Abigail's situation. She was married to a madman. She was married to a man who was cruel and harsh and rash. A man who cared for no one but himself. His own servants despised him. But Abigail did not adopt her husband's evil traits. Doesn't that sometimes happen? Maybe within a marriage, one of the members is cantankerous. He or she always has a bad attitude. They're mad at the world. And before long, the other spouse starts to act accordingly. Maybe he or she was pleasant and kind when the marriage started, but before long, they're just like that other spouse. That's happened. But Abigail tells us, listen, even if your spouse isn't what he or she ought to be, that doesn't have to be true of you. Maybe your spouse is not faithful to the Lord. That doesn't mean you have to be unfaithful. Maybe you have parents who aren't what they ought to be. Maybe they were unfaithful to one another. Maybe they're unfaithful to God. That doesn't mean you have to grow up and be unfaithful to God or unfaithful to your mate. Maybe it's co-workers. Maybe everybody in your plant or everybody in your office cusses and gets drunk and does all kinds of things they ought not to do. That doesn't mean you have to behave that way. Maybe you're on a basketball team or a football team or a baseball team and everybody on your team is out doing this or that, things they ought not to do. That doesn't mean you have to do it. Abigail teaches us we don't have to be defined by others, even by those who may be close to us. Number two, we learn how to turn away wrath. Remember Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1? A soft answer turns away wrath. Don't we see that in Abigail? David is fit to be tied. David sees red. He's on his way to kill Nabal and every male in the household. You better just stay out of his way. But Abigail was smart enough to know, I have to intervene, and I have to intervene properly. I'm not going to go and try to argue. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm going to go and I'm going to bow before Him at His feet, and I'm going to plead for mercy. I am Your servant. You are my Lord over and over. Not justifying someone's anger. We need to be smart enough to know how to deal with that anger. When people are upset, they'll say or do things that they ought not to say or do. And depending on our reaction, we can kind of tame that or we can inflare that. Sometimes the best response to an angry person who's not acting right is no response at all. They have acted improperly. And sometimes the best way is to just not say anything. Let them cool off and come back to their senses. If a reply is necessary, you shouldn't try to meet them on their level. A soft answer, a gentle reply. Remaining calm and cool-headed is usually an effective answer. We certainly learn that from Abigail, don't we? She softly and tenderly begged for mercy. My husband is a nut, I know it. His name means fool, and David, I'll be the first to testify, he is a fool. But please have mercy. And number three, we learn that vengeance belongs to the Lord. That's what Paul said in Romans 12, verse 19. Hey, don't seek personal vengeance. Leave that to God. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. David felt slighted. He'd been disrespected. He was going to get the upper hand. He attacks me, I'll attack him. But we learn from this story that David didn't have to repay Nabal. God did. Let God right the wrong. Our judgment may be flawed. We may have a misperception of the situation. Even if we have a correct perception, we're not the judge, jury, and executioner. That's what David was about to be. David had judged him unfit to live and was about to take his life. But God used Abigail, and Abigail taught David and us an important lesson. Let's focus on our part and leave vengeance to God. God repaid Nabal. David saw it that way. When he heard that Nabal had died in verse 39, he said, "Blessed be the Lord who has avenged the insult I received at the hand of Nabal and has kept back his servant from wrongdoing. The Lord has returned the evil of Nabal on his own head." You see, David learned the lesson. I was about to take matters into my own hands. Gracefully, God taught me that's His business, not mine. The story of Abigail and Nabal, the beauty and the beast. I hope it's a story that you like. More importantly, I hope it's a story you learn from. Remember, the Old Testament was preserved for our learning. Let us learn from Abigail, from Nabal, and from David. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, we never conclude without offering the Lord's invitation. Will you come believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, because He is the Christ, the Son of God? But understand that saving faith is an obedient faith. It is an active, working faith. The Lord Himself said you must repent of your sins. You must confess Him publicly. And you must be immersed in water for or unto the forgiveness of sins. If you'll take those simple steps, you'll rise up a new creature, born again, cleansed by the blood of Christ, and on the road that leads to heaven. Maybe you've taken those steps, but you've sinned publicly. Maybe you've fallen away from the Lord and need to make public correction. If so, this invitation's for you as well. For the sake of your soul, come right now
as together we stand and sing.